worship up here. It's so good to see you. We have come to worship the Lamb of God today. Amen.
Good morning, Crossville Church.
Good morning.
Thank you all for being here this morning. Thank you to everybody who's joining us on Facebook. We appreciate you for worshiping with us as well. Choir members, don't forget about choir practice today at 5 p.m. And then we will have small groups tonight in the Good News Classroom at 6 p.m. going over the book of Hebrews, as you all have been. Wednesday evening, normal events at 6 p.m. for children, youth, young adults, and the adult Bible study. Thank you to everybody who's been supporting Bread of Life and the monthly meals we help them provide. We are already taking donations, financial and food donations, for the November meal. There's info on that out in the foyer in the welcome station. So please check that out on your way out the door. What month is it? October. Man, can't slip anything by you guys. What happens at the end of October? Halloween. Very good. So we've been mentioning for several weeks now that we will be doing something a little different this year that we've not done in several years here at the church. It'll be a trunk or treat, and that is on October 29th. That's the Wednesday night before Halloween. And so we have done it that way so that it will be hopefully out of the way of other events within the community. And so if you don't know what a trunk or treat is, ask some of your pastoral staff on the way out the door, and they'll give you good ideas for what you need to dress up as. But there's a barrel out in the foyer to collect candy. I know some of you all have already been bringing that in. Thank you for that, but please don't stop. We will need a lot of candy. But then also, there's a sign-up sheet for the trunk or treat, so please make sure you sign up for that. We want this to be a great event, not only for our kids, but for kids within the community. But in order to do that, we need a lot of candy and a lot of trunks. So please make sure that you sign up, and we're excited about that. There is a meeting about a craft fair that is going to be in this classroom here at the end of the hallway. That'll be at the end of church next Sunday morning. We had a successful craft fair last year and are looking at putting on another one. So anybody who's interested in that, please make sure that you attend that meeting after worship next Sunday morning. There are all the other events that are in the bulletin each week. Please make sure you're keeping track of those. And the bulletin that's emailed out on Friday. And thank you all for being here and your support of the church with your attendance and your tithes and offerings. All right, I asked you a question earlier, and I'm going to see if I can get you to be more responsive now than you were earlier. What month is it?
October.
Very good. All right, so it's October. So at the end of October is Halloween, but October is also Pastor Appreciation Month. And some years in the past, the month kind of goes by in a hurry, and we do this toward the end of the month. And this year, Wayne and Mary kept us on track, and they said, no, we want to do this at the beginning of the year. So that way we let our pastoral staff know how much we appreciate them, and so they've got the whole month to spend their money. So we wanted to make sure we did this today, and we, you know, words fall short. I was talking to somebody in the church this week about any of our pastoral staff, and she said, we all know they're good. So, and that's a simple statement, but it's a powerful statement, that we all can have supreme confidence in the abilities of our pastoral staff, and that we know that they have all their dealings with us and with the church with integrity. And that goes a long way because a lot of churches can't say that. So we're taking for granted that you all know that all these folks are good. That's the baseline. Anything else I can say is above and beyond. But we just we want to say how much we appreciate not only Pastor William and Susan, but also Pastor Jack. Pastor Jack and Faye, and Pastor Heather, and we just appreciate you all and everything you guys do. You all know me. I can't be serious at all, so this will not be a serious presentation. It'll be a funny presentation. So I asked several people within the church to, you know, help me think of some good stories. I said, I really want to tell the congregation some things about Pastor William that maybe they don't know. And either everybody was afraid or they really couldn't think of anything. So, no, I got some good responses. I got some good responses. But, Pastor William, will you please come up? And, Susan, will you please come up, too? We always leave Susan sitting on the piano, and we never recognize her. But it's a team effort. And, you know, there are a lot of things that happen that both of these folks do. You never see them be the first ones out the door. They're always the last to leave. And I think that says a lot about their leadership and the fact that there is not an event that happens on this campus that both of them do not attend and are not very, very actively involved in. And so we appreciate everything Susan does on the piano and in Sunday school and on all the other things you do. One day I was flippantly asking Susan, I said, well, did you keep the pastor, you know, from jumping off the ledge this week? Did you keep him from getting too crazy? And she said, we've been married a long time. And I found that sometimes you just have to push. And so I thought, well, so if he ever appears that something's happened to him, it's because she pushed him. So, couple other things on the pastor that we appreciate so much. I've tried so hard in my time here, you know, since they came in 2019 to work on his fashion. I've not gotten him to do the coach yet, but I'm still working on it. He's not gotten me to do the pleated blue jeans, so there's always back and forth. But several other things that we want to say about the pastor is his bravery. He took several years ago all the kids to the Ark, and that's a long journey to go take them to the Ark in Kentucky. And he came back. I think he had a little less hair and a few more gray hairs, but he made it. And then yesterday, he drove a van full of the ladies to Chattanooga for the ladies' event that Heather was speaking at. And so a little more gray hair. Do what? He's fine. He's not affected. He's fine. So, but all those things. And also, you may not know that our pastor is a prophet. Because when I first met him, he was telling me about this magical place in Texas called Bucky's. And I had never heard of this. And so he got Callie and I to intentionally on a road trip veer off and go to a Bucky's. And then, lo and behold, a Bucky's was coming to Crossville. So, anyway, several things that the pastor will sometimes like to say, in case you all don't know, is just smile and nod your head. That's good preaching, William. He has to say it because often we don't tell him that enough. So today you have to tell him that walking out the door. Another thing he'll sometimes tell Mary is, well, you've made me mad, so I'm leaving. And Mary will say, if I'd have known that, I'd have done it before. And then one other thing that our pastor will sometimes say is, well, when I go home, I'm going to tell her about that. And then when I can see through my two black eyes, I'll be preaching again. Thank you. We love you all and appreciate you. Pastor Jack, can you come forward, please? Oh, no. Pastor Jack, we appreciate you. Unfortunately, we don't have the history for as long, so I don't have as many good stories to tell. I don't have the fashion advice to give you and the things like that, but we're going to work on it. But the thing that I appreciate so much about Pastor Jack, in addition to his deep theological knowledge, is the fact that he, I think, works harder than just about anybody here. All the days, all the time, all the projects, all the things that he does that we expect him to do beyond being the associate pastor. Our Sunday school room, he totally redid. He said he's not great at sheetrock, and it looks way better than any sheetrock I've ever done. So we just appreciate everything you do behind the scenes, the things you do without thanks, because you don't expect that, and that's not who you are, but we do appreciate it. So thank you. We love and appreciate you. Yeah. Pastor Other Jack, can you come forward, please? Yeah. Some people might say Jack the Younger and Jack the Elder, but, you know, we can't get into that. We see them both as the same age. Here, thank you. Now, I'm sure most of you all know this, but here again, I was trying to think of fun things to tell, and you may not know that in addition to his time as a pastor, being a retired Nazarene minister, and then being our congregational care pastor, he looks really good in that striped hat and with a train whistle, because for a lot of years, he worked on the train lines. No, I'm kidding about the hat and the whistle, but we appreciate everything you do. Here again, all the things you do behind the scenes, the phone calls, the visits, everything of that nature, everything that you and Miss Faye do, and keep this thing running. So we appreciate it. Be in prayer for Pastor Jack this week, as he's going to be going through some things, some surgery. So we're looking forward to you jumping and skipping around here after you get out of that.
Open your arm
Yeah, I know. See, you all are keeping good company. So, thank you. We love and appreciate you. Yeah. Last but certainly not least, Pastor Heather, will you come up here, please? We have been so fortunate to have Pastor Heather be the newest member of our staff here. And so she does a lot of different things as well. And she has really, really ramped up a lot of our social media presence, some of the stuff that we do, a lot of those posts that I see you guys interacting with throughout the week, that's her brainchild. And a lot of the other engagement that goes on, the reworking of the Welcome Center out here, the different things that we all do to try to make sure that you all know what's going on within the church and that you all are engaged, that was her brainchild. And so there are a lot of other things that she wants to do, a lot of other things that she's talking about, but just the small steps that you can see that she has made happen in her time here, we greatly appreciate. And we appreciate the things that you do juggling this with your other responsibilities, with your secular job. And it does not go unnoticed. So we love and appreciate you, and we thank you for everything you do. Yeah. All right. Thank you all so much. Everybody ready to worship? Awesome. Here's the pastor.
One of the blessings that I have had across the years is being able to pastor some retired pastors. And I can say without any hesitation that they have been a blessing to me. And we have had retired pastors since I've been here. And we have two that are with us right now. Pastor Jack is retired. This Pastor Jack has not retired. But Dr. Dave Rupert, would you come? Brother, I call him Brother David all the time, but Brother David pastored many years, was a district superintendent in the Free Methodist Church, and has been very influential in a lot of ways. And he gives me encouragement, and he gives me pieces of paper that I get to read, and they're not bad, you know? And, Brother Dave, we just want to say thank you for all that you have done across the years. And share that with Miss Lois, okay? Okay. Brother Jeff Rollison is also a retired pastor in our church. He is not able to, he is not here today. You know that he's had some, he had an accident and then he had some surgeries, but we're going to get this to him and honor him as well. But we're so grateful for the opportunity that we have for these men to be a part of our congregation and do what they are doing. And so we thank you. Well, ask our worship team to come, and we're gonna sing to the Lord this morning. We try to do a kind of a blend of music in our worship, and today we're going to go back to some old songs. You're going to know them. They're all songs that you probably know. But let's stand together as we sing. We're going to start with Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious, dear, that grace appeared the hour I first believed.
Come, 'tis grace
10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. Leave no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
hopefully I'm not going to steal Pastor William's thesis statement for his sermon, but Exodus 15 is a group of people singing a song as a direct result of their deliverance. And as you track the theme throughout the Bible, you'll see it time and time again. This group of people who have no hope other than God himself delivering them through water, which in Hebrew scripture is chaotic. It's this like primordial unknown that has sway over creation. And yet God takes that chaos and he speaks over it, and suddenly the waters are stilled, or the waters are separated, or the people are delivered through the water. And in the New Testament, of course, we get this imagery very clearly in the idea of baptism. And we learn from the New Testament that if you have been baptized, you have been baptized into the death of Jesus, that God has saved you, not because of your own works, but because you've submitted yourself to him, that you've trusted in only him and in his deliverance in the midst of some pretty extreme fear and extreme chaos. And in our cases, as we reflect, living the saved life, some severe slavery, that we, like the Israelites, were in bondage to sin and death. And through the life of Jesus made known, we're free. And there's only one thing you do with that. You walk in it, you walk out of it, and you sing about it. And so that's what we see in this story in Scripture. And so it's quite a beautiful thing. So I'm going to read to you Psalm chapter 9, the first part of it, where he talks a little bit about this song. And I just encourage you to pray it as a prayer with me. So, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. When my enemies turn back, they stumble and perish before your presence. For you have maintained my just cause. You have sat on the throne, giving righteous judgment. You have rebuked the nations, you have made the wicked perish, you have blotted out their name forever and ever. The enemy came to an everlasting ruin, their cities you root out, the very memory of them has perished. But you, O Lord, sit enthroned forever, you have established your throne for justice, and you judge the world with righteousness, and the peoples with uprightness. You, O Lord, are our stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Amen.
I want to say thank you for your thoughtfulness and for all that you do to make this a great place to come together and to worship. I am blessed to get to work with the people that were brought to the stage. They have strengths that I do not have, and I'm so thankful for those that have been gathered around, and for the insight of the board, and for their support in allowing these people to come around me, and work. Facebook until Heather got here was just a scripture verse every day. And if you're not on Facebook, you need to get on Facebook just to see what Heather does in relation to that and a lot of other things that are going on. Pastor Jack Oden is one of the greatest encouragers I have ever had. He preached this past Wednesday night while I was flying in. I listened. I didn't get in on it right at first because my plane was a little late getting in and I was a little late getting out of the airport. So on the way back, I listened to his message about Paul. And I appreciate Pastor Jack Oden for his congregational care. He is much better at that than I. The young guy, he makes me afraid, I'm telling you. If you didn't notice, all the guys got haircuts over the past 2 weeks, and so now we're all... he is so smart. I have to have notes, or I get lost. Jack gets up here and he just talks. I used to be able to do that. Not anymore. And that young lady sitting over there, I asked her to marry me, and after I asked her to marry me, then she told me a few weeks later after that, that she felt that she had been called to be a pastor's wife. But she said, you don't go into a Christian campus and announce, hey, I've been called to be a pastor's wife. She is the best. And I'm so thankful for her. Thank you for your appreciation and for all that you do. And I believe the best is yet to come. And one of these days, Jesse, I'll borrow the coat just to preach in, okay? This morning, we're going to look at Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. And in my Bible, this passage is called the Song of Moses and Miriam. It's a song that was sung in glory and praise to God for what He had done. And have you ever thought, I mean, we sang some older songs this morning, but have you ever thought about the songs that we sing? And I'm not just talking about in here, okay? Have you ever just thought about the songs that we sing? I mean, there is nothing wrong, and this is for Gail and Mark, there is nothing wrong with singing Country Roads Take Me Home. Okay. I don't guess that there's anything wrong with singing I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry. That's kind of a pastor's song from time to time, you know. Don't worry, be happy. It's a cute little song, but can I tell you something? It doesn't tell you a bit about where you're going to find joy. Several years ago, comedian Steve Martin, this was in 2011, at a concert that he was doing. He's a banjo player, in case you didn't know that. He is not just a comedian, but he is a banjo player. And in one of the concerts that he was doing with his banjo and a bluegrass band, he introduced a song entitled, Atheists Don't Have No Songs. And he brought out one sheet of paper. And on that one sheet of paper was the atheist's hymnal. That's what he called it. And he did, and these are his words. These are not mine. I do know that is not correct English, but that was what he said. Atheists don't have no songs. I mean, there's pop, there's country, there's rock. There are the great classics that have been written by composers. And none of those there's anything wrong with, I guess, as long as the lyrics aren't profane. But none of those songs, as silly or as great as they might be, hold on, have ever changed a heart. The song that we're going to read, and we're going to kind of read it in bits and pieces as we go through chapter 15 this morning. The song that we are looking at this morning, it was written by people who had experienced God. They had experienced God, and God had transformed their lives. And this is the first song that we have recorded in the Bible. And God's people sang it after their escape from Egypt and before they began this long, perilous journey that they were going on to the Promised Land. It's a song, basically, and I want you to get this, it is a song that is basically a song for any age, for any of the redeemed. It talks about the God that we serve and what He was able to do in uncertain days. Look at Exodus chapter 15, verse 1. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song, I will sing to the Lord, for He is highly exalted, both horse and driver He has hurled into the sea. Now, the last time that we were together, we talked about the fact there in Exodus chapter 14, how God moved and how God drowned the entire Egyptian army in the sea after the people of Israel had walked through on dry ground. That's Exodus chapter 14, verses 27 through 30. God had defeated the enemy. Israel was now free. And for the first time in over 400 years, they were experiencing something that they had never, ever experienced. And I cannot even begin to imagine the celebration that was happening as the Israelites looked back and they saw the salvation of God scattered all over the beach. Now, you may not like how I said that, but that's really true. They were now free. Their enemy was gone. Look at verse 2.
The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise Him. My Father's God, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is His name. I think when you begin to look at that, all of this is really, I mean, Moses had seen things that nobody else had ever seen before. The burning bush, I mean, how can you explain that? Moses saw all the deliverance of the plagues and everything that went on with those. And it's almost as though Moses is just beginning now to process. Just beginning to process. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God. And I will praise Him, my Father's God. You know, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is His name. Going down to verse 4. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them. They sank into the depths like a stone. Your right hand, Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand shattered the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you. You unleashed your burning anger. It consumed them like stubble. And if anybody knew what scratch and stubble was, it was the Israelites. Because they had to go out and gather up all the straw. They had to go out and gather up all the stubble. They had to do all of those things because of all the things that was going on. And it was in a very breath that God opened a way of escape for them. And the sea parted. And this was not something that they could have done. This was not something that they had the power to do, but yet God did it. Try as they might, the people of Israel could not save them. They had to depend upon God's power to save them. And He did not fail them. Somebody ought to have said amen. You know. Then you go on down to verse 8. By the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The surging waters stood up like a wall. The deep waters congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy boasted, I will pursue. I will overtake them. I will divide the spoils. I will gorge myself on them. I will draw my sword and my hand will destroy them. But you blew with your breath and the sea covered them and they sank like lead in the waters. As kids, we used to sing a little song. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. I would do the motions, but you'd laugh at me. You know? There's nothing that He cannot do. Isn't it amazing? I want us this morning, on October 5th, 2025, I want us to look at this song. And it is a song of the redeemed. I want us to look at this song this morning and see what it reveals to us. Right here, right today, October 25th, 2025, thousands of years removed from when the song was originally sung. The first thing that I want you to notice as you begin to look through this is that Moses in this song, he really shows us that we're going to have to rely on God's power. That we're going to have to rely on God's power. I mean, from the beginning of the song, Moses declares, the Lord is my strength, my defense. He has become my salvation. I read all those verses to you, so I'm not going to take time to read them again. But Moses begins to list out the mighty things that God had done. I mean, probably nobody else in the crowd understood better than Moses how dependent he was upon God. I mean, you go back to chapter 14. And there, this has always fascinated me, that just the children of Israel are crying out to God about what's going to happen. And God speaks to Moses and He says, why are you crying out? He had seen the bush. He had seen the snake. He had seen all the plagues. Everything had done. And yet God still says that Moses is crying out. Now, I don't want you to get too down on Moses. Because I'm not going to ask you, how many things have you seen God do, and yet when some little thing comes up, the first thing that you do is, oh, woe is me, what is going to happen to me? I mean, all of these things were going on. Why was Moses afraid? I'll tell you why Moses was afraid. Because he was a human being. And from time to time, human beings get afraid. But I'm so thankful that there is a God that shows up and does things for us through His power that we could not do for ourselves. And here in this very beginning of this song, Moses is declaring God's mighty power, His strength, His defense, His salvation. He is proclaiming that it was God who did what could not otherwise be done. You remember walking with your kids in a town somewhere or in a city, and what do you do when you're walking with kids or grandkids? You reach down and take their hands. Now, sometimes they don't like that. But you reach down and take their hand because you love them, because you don't want them to get hurt. And in a great way right here, God basically reached down and took the hand of the Israelites, walked them across on dry ground because He loved them and He did not want them to get hurt. Sometimes the grasp that we have on our children are not real good. Sometimes they'll run away. And what do we do at that point in time? We pursue them. There's nothing like a 65-year-old man running down the street after a 4-year-old. Been there and done that, you know. But we catch them. We love them. And when they're going, when they fall and they skin their knee, we don't walk over and we don't kick them and say, "You should have done better." We reach down, we pick them up, we hug them, we hold them, we try to soothe them. And if that is what we do as earthly fathers, how much more will our Heavenly Father do for us that which we need? He holds us. He pursues us. I'm going to tell you, if I'd been God, I just said, forget Israel. If I'd have been God, I'd have just said, forget William. Do you want me to add your name in that list? Because how many of us at some point in time, when God was doing His best to speak and God was doing His best to grasp, how many of us have ran away? The only way that any of us are here this morning is because the divine hand of God and His power did not give up, did not leave us alone, kept pursuing, and has brought us through some very, very difficult times. Do you realize who we serve? I mean, I really want you to think about it. Do you realize, and I know you could give me the Sunday school answer there if I'd have had somebody do that. We serve God. I know that's the right answer. But do you realize this morning who we serve? We serve the one who spoke this world into existence. We serve the one who is the intelligent designer of all of this. None of this just happened by chance. We serve the one who sustains the universe and the one who Jesus said cares about the very hairs of our head and about the sparrows that fall. Both nights that I was in Kansas City, Monday night and Tuesday night this past week, I got out and walked in that area, and I walked through a store parking lot. And both nights, as I walked through this store parking lot, as I was there, I noticed a bird that had been hit by a car. And both times that I saw that bird, I couldn't help but think of what Jesus said, that even when a sparrow falls, our Heavenly Father knows about it. Do you realize this morning who we serve? Do we realize this morning the power that is available to us through the God that we serve? We do not serve a God of wood or stone or gold. We don't serve a God who is, you know, just out there somewhere. We serve the one who was able to breathe, and the water of the sea piled up on itself so that people could walk through. Israel had a mighty warrior. That's what Moses says here. And you and I can trust the strong arm of God to sustain us, to help us, to deliver us. Because I want to tell you something this morning. Our God is in control. The second thing that I want you to see this morning is that not only do we need to rely on God's power, and that's what the song tells us, but not only does it tell us about God's power, but we need to acknowledge God's holiness. Look at verse 11. Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you? Majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders. You stretch out your right hand and the earth swallows your enemies. Moses is fully aware that there is no one like the God that he serves. In Israel, they were trying to depend upon all those gods back in Egypt. God was in process of trying to get Egypt out of them, not just them out of Egypt, you know. And God begins to show them that the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob is unlike all those gods in Israel. Look at verse 12. You stretch out your right hand, the earth swallows your enemies. In your unfailing love, you lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. The nations will fear and tremble. Anguish will grip the people of Philistia. The chiefs of Edom will be terrified. The leaders of Moab will be seized with trembling. The people of Canaan will melt away. Terror and dread will fall on them. By the power of your arm, they will be as still as stone until your people pass by. Lord, until the people you bought pass by. You will bring them in and plant them on the mountain of your inheritance, the place, Lord, you have made your dwelling, the sanctuary, Lord, that your hands have established. I mean, to read those things. He begins to talk about who this God is, and he talks about it in the fact that though all these people are going to fear and they're going to tremble, they're going to become like stone. This is an awesome thing. Because the God of Israel was indeed powerful, but there's two things that are mentioned here. And I don't think you and I can afford to miss those two things. Because in verse 11, he says, who among the gods is like you? Who is like you, majestic in holiness? You go on down to verse 13. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. I mean, there's no doubt about what Moses is singing. This God, this all-powerful God, this God of Israel, this God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, this God is a holy God. I want you to remember something. We talked about that in Egypt there was the God of fertility. This God is our God is not a God of fertility, but our God caused a virgin to be with child. And through that child, we have been redeemed. You see, this God, in His holiness, has loved people and He's brought about a salvation for us. I mean, you begin to think of all the things that God has done. But this God didn't want His people just to be like everybody else. This God wanted His people to be different. Because you go over to Exodus chapter 31. We're not there yet, but Exodus chapter 31 verse 13. And God says, say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths. This will be a sign between me and you for generations to come, so that you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. You go over to Leviticus, chapter 11, verse 44. And there God said to the people of Israel, I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves and be holy because I am holy. Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through 15, reminded the early church As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who's called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. The realization of this sometimes escapes us. From time to time, I think we forget who he is. And we forget who we are. You see, he is holy. Now, I want to ask you a question. I do not want a single amen. Do we understand that? Okay? Do we believe in God's holiness? Think about that. Don't just answer. You see, if we believe in God's holiness, then it should have changed our lives. You see, has the fact that he is holy and he has commanded us to be holy, has that done something in us? You see, Israel saw. They may not have understood, but Israel saw. And they said that they were going to follow God with all their life. And the life of the nation suggests quite the opposite of that. It's going to get real close in here for just a second, okay? Does the life of the nation in which we live reflect the holiness of God because of the people of God in that nation? If people were to talk about our church, would they say there is something different about that church because of the God that the people in that church serve? You see, if we proclaim that we believe in holiness, it ought to change the way that we live. It ought to change the things that we say. It ought to do something in us. If we are going to proclaim ourselves as a holiness people, as a holiness denomination, then it should transform us. And we should be different from the rest of the world. I mean, Moses, he began to understand. I mean, he began to talk about that there is no God like the Lord our God. God is holy. He's unique among all the little g gods that are around it today. I mean, you know, an idol is powerless to help us, but we serve a God who is holy. A God that is holy, that wants to transform his people through the power of his holiness. You see, you and I must live in such a way that we are obedient, and in our obedience, we therefore show the holiness of God to the people who are around us. It should transform our lives. The third thing that I want you to see this morning is that you and I, as Moses talks about here and sings about here, we need to follow God's guidance. I mean, if we're going to make it through this life, we're going to have direction other than our own. I took the ladies yesterday to Chattanooga. Some of you didn't see that. It's okay. And I was afraid. I had my GPS there. Waze. I don't know if any of you use Waze, but I love Waze. And I had it there. I usually have it up high on my dash in my truck, and it was down here, and so I couldn't see. And I even with Waze going, had it not been for Marcy and her guidance and her direction, I would not have made it. We would have been somewhere downtown. You say, William, where in the world are you going with that? Let me tell you where in the world I'm going with that. I didn't know where I was going. Marcy did. Marcy used to attend that church. She knew how to get there. Israel had no clue where they were going. They had never been there before. But they had a God who understood and knew the direction in which they should go. Verse 13, in your unfailing love you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength you will guide them to your holy dwelling. I mean, God leads his redeemed people to this new home. We're going to get there eventually, I promise. But God is leading. God is helping them. And not only did he lead them to the land of Canaan, but one day I believe he's going to lead us to a new home that he has promised. And it may be a perilous journey. But God guides with love and power and strength. Verse 14, the nations will hear and tremble. Anguish will grip them. The chiefs of Edom would be terrified. I mean, he goes on down through this. Terror and dread will follow them. By the power of your arm, they will be as still as stone until your people pass by, Lord. Until your people pass by. I mean, the people in and around the promised land, Philistia, Edom, Moab, Canaan, they're going to be as still as a stone. But God is going to lead and God is going to guide and he's going to help his people. You will bring them, verse 17, you will bring them in and plant them on the mountain of your inheritance, the place, Lord, you made for your dwelling, the sanctuary, Lord, your hands established. The Lord reigns forever and ever. The only way that Israel was going to get to where they needed to be was to do what God said and follow his leading, his guidance. Sad part was, we're going to find this out. They missed it. All the way around. And again. And again. For 40 years. And had they just followed? How many blessings do we miss out on because we just refuse to follow? How much has God wanted to do? Last thing I want you to see this morning is that when you get to the end of this song, it was kind of interesting. This is a side note. This is how my mind thinks, okay? It's kind of interesting that he repeats a phrase in there, kind of like we do on Sunday mornings, you know, when we repeat a phrase. Y'all didn't think that was nearly as funny as I thought you would. We'll move along. The last thing I want you to see this morning is that not only do we have to rely on God's power, and that song teaches us that, not only do we have to acknowledge God's holiness, and the song teaches us that, not only do we have to follow God's guidance, and the song teaches us that, but when you get to the end of the song, they celebrate God's triumph. It's an amazing situation. Moses and all of Israel, they begin to sing a song rejoicing over the triumph of God over their enemies. Verse 19, when Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and horsemen went into the sea, the Lord brought the waters of the sea back over them, but the Israelites walked through the sea on dry land. I mean, they have watched. They have seen the deliverance of God. Nothing could they have done in all of this for themselves. They have been brought through a sea that was with great victory. Pastor Jack said it. He didn't know I had it in my notes. But he talked about the fact that Israel, they were afraid of the water. I mean, it was a fearful place for them. As far as they were concerned, sea monsters lived there. People died there. It was a trap for them, and here they are. They're backed up against it. And God opens the sea. They walk through on dry ground. The Pharaoh and his armies, they try to go through, and they are taken care of. And they celebrate. Psalm 34, verse 4 says, I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. They feared the water, and it was through the water that they were delivered. We're fearful people. I talked about that earlier this morning. We speak of God in such glowing terms and then live as though we don't believe a thing that we just said. Amen, William. Good preaching. And then the ladies get involved. Verse 20, then Miriam the prophet, Aaron's sister, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women followed her with timbrels and dancing. Miriam sang to them, sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. It was practice in this day for the women to go out and greet those that were victorious, the returning army. Well, there was no returning army. There was God. There was God. Miriam's called a prophetess here. And she had a word from God as a prophetess when she said, "Sing to the Lord." Moses said in verse 1, "I will sing to the Lord." But here the testimony is basically calling for everybody to sing to the Lord. And most Bible scholars believe this was an antiphonal thing. And that's a big fancy word that means when one person says one thing, another person either repeats it or sings something back to them. So this was going back and forth among the people of God as they begin to praise God for the goodness of God. And they celebrated the triumph of their God. We didn't sing it this morning, but we could have. Victory in Jesus. Please understand something, folks. Victory in Jesus is not just a someday song. Victory in Jesus is a today song. A song in which we sing about the one who has come to us, who has the victory over sin, death, and hell. We don't have to worry about those things anymore because of Jesus. And we can celebrate. We can celebrate the triumph of our God in our lives. Application. Do you have a song to sing? I'm not talking about a pop song, a rock song, a love song. But do you have a song, a real song, to sing because you're relying on God's power, because you know about and have experienced God's holiness, because you're following His guidance? Do you have a song to sing this morning that causes you to celebrate what God has done in your life? You see, if the only song that you have to sing is about the happenings in this world, then you need a new song. You need to sing the song of the redeemed. We're not singing songs about the ravages of this world. Our world has gone mad. We're not singing songs about the ravages of this world. Our songs are songs about a God who delivers for you. See, you heard it every week at the end of the sermons. We serve a God who delivers. We serve a God who delivers, and He'll deliver you. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Let's stand. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because, amen. All fear is gone, because I know the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. May God bless you. You are dismissed. Oh, Jack. We're going to pray for Jack. We're going to anoint Jack this morning. Jack, come up here. Those of you who would like to, we'd like for you to gather around Pastor Jack. He's going to have knee surgery tomorrow. And we're going to anoint Jack. Thank you, Jack, in the back. He was pointing and I couldn't tell what he was saying.
You're not
going to kneel? He's not.
Yeah.
No, Jack. We may not get you back up.
Yes, I will.
Okay. Jack, the Bible tells us, and you've done this many times, that we can call for the elders of the church to be anointed with oil. And the Bible says that it is the prayer of faith that will save the sick. It's not in the oil. It's not in the preacher doing the anointing. It's not in the people gathered around. It is God who does the healing. And so this morning, Jack, we anoint you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, believing God to touch you, to help you, to be with you tomorrow as you undergo surgery. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful that we can gather around our brother today. Lord, we're so thankful for him. And you know the issues with his knee that he's been dealing with for a long time. But tomorrow, Lord, he's going to place his hands in the hand, and he's going to place his body in the hands of a surgeon. But today, we place him in the hands of the great physician, believing, God, that you're going to do great and mighty things for him. And so today, we trust you. We anoint him in your name, believing you for his healing. And we rejoice and give you glory for what you're going to do. And we pray and ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bless you, Jack. Lord bless you guys. You are dismissed.